And again, like I don't know if anyone's got time, but if you want to do a quick after show chat, because this has been a bit of a weird one.
Do you want to record it, or are we going to...
Oh, yeah, record. I don't know what I'll do with it. It'll probably be a Patreon or a bonus release, but I'd love to know your kind of thoughts on it.
Stuff that's been spread over about 3 months.
No, keep it going.
All right, just keep going. Yeah.
We may or may not keep it. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't, but it's often good just to have a bit of a kind of like after show green room type chat.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah.
So I didn't think that was going to end in any way normal, so I was a bit like, well, flick the switch, to be fair. I'm like, well, I don't see us getting a solution outside of, like, anything away from this machine wasn't really going to help anybody anyway. So I'm like, well, screw it, push the roll. Either we die or we die. So I'm like, well.
Yeah, totally.
Might as well explore, right?
I really thought we were all going to die at the flick of the switch.
Instead, we got to meet Lucas Mackey, which is
I know, it's so cool.
At some point, we are actually going to have to play Delta Green. So many of our campaigns have ended with, and hello, we're from Delta Green.
So Lindy and Lisa, maybe even Curran. No, Curran, you were there. So basically we played Escape from Innsmouth, which is how Delta Green started. It's basically the combined forces of the US Coast Guard and the military basically attacking Innsmouth. And after that, Delta Green was formed, and we played through our own custom version of that with them acting for Lucas Mackey, who was then working for the...
Is that the one where I called the artillery, the coastal bombardment on Dagon?
Cool.
Dagon, so they fought Dagon, and they basically started Delta Green in our version of Call of Cthulhu. Even before the FBI started. But so we've kind of... This was when we played a campaign, but we've alluded to it a few times since then, but we've never jumped back in full time because we've not done a Call of Cthulhu campaign since our first year.
Would it be a bit crunchier than normal campaigns?
No. That's good. I've actually got the Delta Green Handbook, and I've read a lot of the story bits, but I've never gone into the rules. One of the writers of Delta Green, last year we're trying to come up with an option for him to do a Delta Green scenario for us, but we never got the timetables to work out. And this year we've been so busy with Curtis Jard and everything else. We've stayed kind of in touch, but we've definitely not put any dates down. So I think that might be a thing for 2019 if we're still a podcast.
Be cool. Yeah, definitely.
It's quite serious, but it's basically X-Files meets True Detective, maybe.
Yeah, it's been mentioned a lot.
Cool.
Sounds good.
I'd be interested anyway.
Whip out my Matthew McConaughey without.
Oh my god! Yeah.
All right.
Suddenly my shirt comes off. What happened?
All right. I do my McConaughey quite a bit. Someone orders a drink. I'm like, all right. Walk away. I don't make their drink. I just walk away. Take my shirt off.
Nice.
I guess the other thing I was going to do is just to set. Is it kind of clear from what's happened actually the story of Bleak Prospect?
Yeah.
Or is it still a bit confusing?
Once I actually understand the plot.
Yep.
Other than what they were trying to achieve.
Yeah.
So the Species 17 kind of eats life essence, which in mechanical terms
that's what I figured.
Yeah, it is a power and luck. And so what they were basically doing is kidnapping people from Hoboville or people that had been investigating them, like Agatha the journalist or Finn the investigator,
her husband,
taking them here, putting Species 17 in them, sucking up all their luck and power. And then when you put them in someone else immediately afterwards, they like vomit it all up. And so the reason they're so successful is because they have really, really high luck and power.
We're not going to get any luck from Hooverville. We're all at 20.
Sounds like a fountain of youth. Because you're all victims of the Midas Circle, and the reason why they've been so successful is because they all have really, really high luck and really, really high power.
Oh, so they had in the past kidnapped us and like done this to us, or what?
Every single person in Hooverville had been kidnapped. So what they'd do is every few nights they'd come in, and Sedgwick, because he'd got like the essence of the other reality in him, was beginning to they were all beginning to change. They had these parasites within them, which is why he had those creatures on his face. And basically, if he didn't feed them power and luck, then they started eating
him. They'd overwhelm him.
So he was like, it went like once a month to once a week to like every day, which is why like all 60 of the people in Hooverville had a...
And how did Aston Hawks become the house?
So basically, the whole thing started off with Aston Hawks grabbing hold of Crawford Tillinghurst, who's the character in From Beyond's research, and creating his own version of it. But rather than doing it around the pineal gland, he created a circle, and within there, reality was broken or thinned or phased within our reality. And basically, he did it too much, and he got sucked in, or he stepped. I'd have to read the thing, but I think maybe he stepped into the portal and then went into the other reality, but still kind of kept himself.
Because he was also out of phase, was he?
Yeah, so he was in the out of phase with our reality, but in phase with theirs. And the night that this scenario started, he managed to force himself back. But obviously there was no body, so he basically started... He possessed the house and was trying to turn the house into him. So he was like eating all the like rats and things like that. And different rooms... different rooms were becoming different. So like the basement and the dining room was like his...
The dog snacks. His
basement was like what, his stomach or something
exactly.
like that?
Exactly. Well, I think the dining room was his stomach.
Wow!
And the basement was his like intestines and...
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm just glad we got Esther out of there.
Yeah, for sure.
And alive. Like that was... I was... convinced we were going to find her dead or turned into something crazy.
Oh, yeah. I never thought we were actually going to find her. That was really cool.
I'm really happy that everything kind of fell into place, because the other scenarios I've listened to where they've played through it, they've all had a really good blast and they're good. The Skype of Cthulhu one's a really good one. But they've never really got good at uncovering the whole story. Like, you know, here I kind of feel that there was a good chance of you get... Which is why I had them arrive at that moment, because I think it kind of almost demonstrated a bit what they were doing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I wouldn't have understood unless I saw them doing what they
were
doing.
Very easily could have turned into them just killing us all.
Oh, yeah. So I actually spoke to the writer and I said, hey, I've got this idea. I'd like them to do this. And he was like, yeah, that's fine. Make sure they're armed.
What was the one that you had asked? Like, what did you ask Scott could you do? And he said no.
I can't remember. I think it was like, because I wrote this months and months and months ago. And then getting the group together and fitting it with our thing. But it was basically... like I wanted a happy ending. Like it was about making it you could be cured really easily. Maybe it was that there was a cure. I'd have to go back and look at my notes or talk to Scott, but I think the big thing he said is like it has to be bleak. The whole point of this is it's a bleak scenario.
It's a bleak it's called prospect, bleak prospect.
Good one.
That's so punny, guys. It's just I couldn't.
And it's also it also seemed like we woke up in a hospital, like it was all going to happen again.
Yeah, well, and there's no,
which is totally bleak.
And if we come back and do Delta Green, then we can have a bit of closure on some of the other scenarios. We've only done it a couple of times, I think, but it's it's the trope I do when I'm like, fuck, I have no idea how to end this scenario.
It's good. It gives the illusion that we're building up to some massive campaign we intend to do in the future and may actually do, but actually didn't plan.
Yeah. And I think we can lay foreshadowing and stuff. It'd be great. I'd love to play more. I think we had a lot of fun when we played modern day stuff, and I think there's going back to Bleak Prospect, a big thing is like a lot of the sandbox is in the town, so there's a good third, maybe half the scenario is in the town, which obviously
we were like,
completely
screw
bypassed.
The town, screw we're the gonna town. Steal a car, just drive through.
Did you want this to all be the way through series, Joe? Let us loose on a town.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm not necessarily sad that you didn't go to the town, but for players at home, if you are going to play it, do expect a lot more in the town.
Wow.
But then if you remember in the first episode, Lindy rolled a success in a tracking roll, which is not a very likely happenstance. And I think that led them along this route to here. And I think it set a whole load of things in process.
And I stole the car.
You can't separate a mother from her child. I will find her.
Oh, 100%. And actually, stole a car. So if you'd walked through the town, then it would have changed things. So I think,
like you get between a mother and a child, you will get a natural one in the face.
Yes. Yeah. Multiple natural ones.
And then some.
Yeah, oh, there was a good few natural ones in there.
Yeah.
I loved when those huge successes came in clutch. Right when we needed them, that was really cool. Oh, yeah. They were total story turns.
I loved every huge success I had, one after the other.
That was a great 100. They tend to have 100s. So that was pretty, really good.
Wow. Yeah.
I did so bad in that game. My rolls were off the charts bad. Like.
So bad.
Mine were a pretty good pendulum swing.
My average was probably like 80, I'd say.
Mine were good when it involved looking for or information pertaining to Esther. If it didn't pertain to Esther, it would always fail.
It didn't matter, yeah. It was just meh.
True.
Well, it sounds like everyone had fun anyway.
I had a blast.
Absolutely. All
that was
the
awesome.
This was full of such delicious shenanigans. Everyone. So fun.
Is there any questions about the plot or the story, or do you think we've covered it? Is it kind of clear what happened?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
I got it. I love how and when it unfolded.
It's definitely one of the more dramatic in terms of acting. I think maybe having you and Lindy, who can maybe come from that. I'm not sure your background, Lindy. I know you've done a lot of acting, Lisa, but it felt more along that thread than some of our other ones, which I think was a really nice feel. Particularly episode one starts very strong with that. I know a lot of fans have spoken about how much they enjoyed that.
Super fun. Once Lindy came in, it was like we were off to the races. We just were like, oh, yes, absolutely. Draft into that. Yeah, go. Everyone go. And it was great.
I just like to super be in character all the time. Well, that's why I play 12 games. I'm like, I don't like being not in a character's head. So.
And I think that really fits our things. We're not a podcast and we're not a group of players that do third person. I mean, we do a little bit, but it's much more we try and get into the scene, into the role, and it's nearly everyone speaking in first person all the time. So you fit very well.
Anyway, guys, I got to call it a night.
It's been brilliant having you. Again, we don't have anything currently planned now, but I'm on holiday for a couple of weeks. So when I get back, we'll start timetabling D&D. I think that's probably the next big thing.